Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lo Tullist, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Hey, Iconic Army.
Bora, hey.
So we are super excited because Jin is coming out with a single. And just before recording, we found out that this single is in collaboration with Coldplay.
Wow.
Wow.
We knew that it was going to be a special artist to Jin, but we had no idea who that artist was. And it just means so much that it's Coldplay. That collaboration, we talked at length about just how meaningful that collaboration was, how special it was. But I also think about the gift of the guitar that I think Coldplay had given to Jin.
Yes. Yes. I just think that it's so special that Chris Martin had given Jin that guitar, and they had such a great collaboration with Coldplay with My Universe. So I'm really excited about what this song could be or will be. Mm-hmm. And just sonically, I know that we're going to love it.
Absolutely.
Love it.
Yeah.
Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. Today we're going to hang out for about an hour, and we're going to talk about the recent BTS military enlistment announcement, and then we're also going to talk about the yet to come concert in Busan.
Yes. But before we get into today's episode, we want to say thank you, Iconics, for being here and for supporting us. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our episode documents, our monthly virtual Iconic Hangouts, and our sound checks, please consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out bi-weekly episodes, but any type of support is super appreciated.
Yeah, thank you guys. Our charity of the month is the Star Legacy Foundation, which is starlegacyfoundation.org. October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. So this foundation brings awareness and education about preventative measures. They also talk about how to best help bereaved parents, which is obviously something very important because when you are dealing with a pregnancy or an infant loss, it's the worst thing you could ever go through. Mm-hmm. So this month is all about raising awareness about the prevalence of pregnancy loss and infant death, and then just supporting those families that have experienced that. This past Saturday, October 15th, was the International Wave of Light, where people all over the world lit a candle at 7 p.m. local time to honor the lives of babies who were gone too soon. And this month just continues throughout the rest of October in trying to spread awareness and trying to raise funds to go towards causes that help parents and help things in this situation. Mm-hmm. So please join us in educating yourselves and find ways to support and donate to the cause by going to starlegacyfoundation.org.
So I've sent it to you, Kayla. I'm just going to quickly read the official announcement that Big Hit put out to confirm that BTS is going to fulfill the mandatory military service. So they said, Big Hit Music is proud to announce today that the members of BTS are currently moving forward with the plans to fulfill their military service. After the phenomenal concert to support Busan's bid for the World Expo 2030, and as each individual embarks on solo endeavors, it's the perfect time and the members of BTS are honored to serve. Since the creation of BTS over 10 years ago, the band has risen to international success, broken records, and catapulted K-pop into the global stratosphere. Big Hit Music has focused to the milestone moment when it would be possible to respect the needs of the country and for those healthy young men to serve for their countrymen, and that's now. Group member Jin will initiate the process as soon as his schedules for his solo release is conducted at the end of October. He will then follow with the enlistment procedure of the Korean government. Other members of the group plan to carry out their military service based on their own individual plans. Both the company and the members of BTS are looking forward to reconvening as a group again around 2025 following their service commitment. With the release of their first anthology album earlier this year, it opened the path to allow the members to take some time to explore individual projects. As part of the HYBE family, we support and encourage our artists and are beyond proud that they will each now have time to explore their unique interests and do their duty by being of service to the country they call home. Yet to come, The Most Beautiful Moment is more than a track from their latest album. It is a promise. There's much more yet to come in the years ahead from BTS.
Wow. Just thinking about in the beginning of where it said since the creation of BTS over 10 years ago and then mentioning that it's catapulted K-pop into the global stratosphere. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, not only K-pop, but I feel like they make Korea as a country a global topic more than it was 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
I mean, I see articles written about Korean like economics or like businesses almost every day. Maybe it's just targeted towards me because of what I do, but like,
right.
Yeah. I see like Korean businesses being advertised at like St. Louis Cardinals baseball games and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I see it so many places and I just don't know that it was that prevalent 10 years ago.
We're definitely more involved in it now since we've been fans of BTS, but it really does seem that way. Like with the Korean wave, or the Hallyu wave, just going through all of that, we know that K-dramas, Korean food and culture and all of that, it's been around, but that it really does seem like once BTS walked on the scene, like with how they spread rapidly throughout the world, it's really brought much more awareness to it and have really contributed so much to that wave. Yeah.
K-dramas on Netflix.
Yeah.
Like 10 years ago. No way.
No.
No way. Yeah. And the other part that really stuck out to me was, of course, them saying that Jin is going to initiate this process as soon as his solo release is concluded. And we know that he is putting out this single by the end of October. So as soon as whatever promotions he has planned for that have concluded, he will be enlisting. Yeah. So that's really right around the corner. It's going to be here before we know it.
From the concert, we kind of heard that Jin was going to be releasing a single or at least be doing some kind of solo work, and then to see that he's going to be the first one to go in, totally makes sense with him being the eldest member. But I was a bit surprised that Jin having his solo work done now versus I thought he was going to be the last one to go,
right?
At least with Festa, the dinner with Festa for 2022, it seemed that way, that he would be one of the last ones, but ended up not being that.
Right.
So we got this exciting news within this release that Jin will be coming out with a single at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Something else that really stuck out that I think a lot of ARMYs are clinging to is that BTS plan to reconvene in 2025.
We know that they're coming back together. Through all of this, they are still BTS, the group, the seven brothers, like together. And this has always been their plan. Even before we knew if enlistment was official or not, we knew since Proof, we knew since Festa, we knew that no matter what work they do individually on their own, they are still a group. They're always acting as a member of BTS, and they always like fully intend to come back as BTS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you see that with the solo work too. It's J-Hope of BTS.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll continue to see them being just members of BTS even as they go into their solo work.
Also, they said the release of their first anthology album first. So to me, I'm like, okay, so after enlistment, they're going to come back. Like, this is their full, like, second chapter of all of their new music. And at the end of that, they're going to cap it off with another anthology album. And they're just thinking lifelong. That's just me and my army, like, dream. They're just like, we're just going to keep doing this.
Why not?
Why not?
I mean, yeah, I hadn't really noticed or took importance to the word first anthology, but... Yeah, you have a good point there.
This is a very calculated statement, you know? Oh. Like, they thought about every single word.
Yes.
So with first, I'm just like, Yeah, anyways. Yeah.
Means that there's plans for more.
Right.
More anthologies.
Right.
Yeah, what I would be so happy about if they, in their second chapter, they end up having an anthology to conclude that second chapter.
Right. It would make so much sense.
It would make a lot of sense.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to change the topic, but just 2025... We can make it. We're all going to still be here come 2025. It's really around the corner.
Yeah.
Like, we're almost done with 2022.
Right. Like, and then, like, 2023 is going to be a breeze.
2023, like, I think we'll get a lot of that solo work. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we expect that maybe, you know, about by halfway through 2023, just from what we know right now, they might all be enlisted by then, or almost all of them enlisted by then. So that's at least knowing that we're having new music and new stuff from them up until that point. Mm-hmm. And we know, like, HYBE and BTS are not going to go all that time without feeding ARMY in some way. Like, maybe if it's not new music, they're going to have other things coming out, like maybe something like an In the Soup style something, or
documentaries.
Like documentaries.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know,
concert recaps.
A concert, yeah, like anything they could put out and have us, you know, be engaged in some way. I'm sure that they will.
I'm sure they've already done a couple more run episodes, or before Jen enlists, they might do another couple run episodes, those special episodes we get every now and then.
Right.
So I do not foresee just a complete absence of BTS content.
Right.
Like, that's not going to happen.
Right.
And I'm sure that Big Hit and HYBE has really put a lot of thought into how they're going to sustain the audience, even though we are such a loyal fan base. It's not really needed. But, you know, I think a lot of ARMYs are kind of grieving or a little bit fearful of, you know, we're going to miss them.
Yeah.
And we're going to have that lack of engagement from BTS, because they'll be doing their, what we think is about 18 months.
Right.
It's kind of up in the air on how long that is, but typically
18 to 21 months, depending on their posting and whatever.
Typically around 18 months. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was definitely feeling that way. I was feeling sad. Like, I was expecting this for a long time. I felt like it was really, like, after all of this back and forth and discussion on will they have to serve or won't they, I kind of had resolved myself to expecting that they would have to, just privately to myself.
Yeah.
And so when the news came, you know, I was just kind of like shocked, but mostly shocked that we finally know, because it felt like it had been so long that we just had no idea. But I guess later on throughout the day, I started to feel a little sad just as I sat with it more.
Didn't
and thought
your coworker
about it.
Ask?
My coworker
if you were
asked about
sad?
It. And just because I hadn't given myself really time to think about it at all, you know, and I hadn't really told anyone at work. And she was like, oh, are you sad? And I was like, yeah, I guess I am, you know?
Yeah.
And so it just kind of hit me. And, like, I know that they're going to be connecting with us in some way during that time, and that there will be, like, content to look forward to. But I think, like, I'll still miss them. And, you know, like, it's just something, like, you said this right before we recorded, like, this is something that we have been, that's been looming over us since we started this podcast of when will BTS enlist and what will that look like for us as fans? What will that be like for them as people? What will that do for the podcast? And, you know, so it's like we're facing it finally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has been looming over us and BTS for a long, long time.
Yeah.
One of the things that I hate the most is when, you know, I share that I'm into BTS or whatever, you know, those just awful, like, white middle-aged men, you know, is what I go to.
The worst people.
The only question they seem to have is, what about military enlistment? What are you going to do when that happens? You know, are they going to have to serve? And I just, it's one of those questions that's just like, like, it really gets all of ARMY, like, heated.
Right.
And so now you had this more reaction of, You felt very sad, didn't know what it was going to look like for the future. We all don't really know what it's going to look like clearly for the future. Mm-hmm. I took this very different approach. I just felt angry mm-hmm. for some reason. And it was more so just like, just thinking about everything they have done, you know, for their country and from my own perspective, right. you know, and I know that over this past year, it seems like every other day we were getting articles about what's going on with the enlistment, whether or not they were going to get exempt, you know, all these things were that it was in the talks, it was in the works. And I would send it to you all the time, right. Kayla, and be like, can they just make a decision?
Right.
And now they have finally made a decision, but I'm like, wow, they spent all this time talking about it, and then they're just like, nope, you got to serve.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Right.
I mean, it is what it is.
I mean, you brought up a valid point earlier, which is that we didn't technically get anything from the government saying they have to, mm-mm. but it's just Big Hit themselves releasing the statement saying they've made the decision to now.
Yeah.
So it's evidently become such a long process
right.
that the, you know, BTS either can't wait on them anymore, or it's so uncertain that it's ever going to happen, you know, or it's likely that it's not going to happen, that they would ever be exempt from it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a really great point. I just want to go back to the very first sentence of Big Hit's statement where mm-hmm. they said, Big Hit Music is proud to announce today that the members of BTS are currently moving forward with plans to fulfill their military service. So, yeah. I mean, that sentence makes it seem like potentially the BTS members were just like, honestly, even if we did get exempt, do we even want to be exempt?
Exactly.
Right? Like, yeah. in the long run, what would that look like on the other side?
You right.
know, what kind of backlash?
Right.
XYZ. Maybe we just put this to rest and just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Part of our conversation earlier was that it's kind of a double-edged sword. If they were to get exempt, or even if they were given the choice, you can serve or you can be exempt. Like, if they are, then half of the population that is so for military service and so for, you know, so against people getting exempt from it would be in an uproar, and BTS would have to defend themselves against that.
Yeah.
And it's already such a stigmatized, shameful thing to not serve because it's a mandatory thing. Everyone has to do it. There's like so much talk about how miserable it can be at times, you know, based on conditions or treatment. But everyone is like, I had to experience it, so you do too. Fair is fair type of mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for BTS to be exempt and then to have to face that type of mindset, that would be incredibly challenging.
Yeah,
like
they don't need that
they
on
don't
top
need
of
that.
Everything else
on
they
top
have to
of
put
everything.
Up with. Right.
Right. I like they've been first for a lot of things, and it's been amazing that they've been first for them, but I don't think they need to be first for taking like the backlash of the first K-pop idols excluded from service.
Absolutely.
Like
yeah.
they don't deserve that hate.
They don't. They really don't.
Yeah. And I think like proudly, you know, I don't think that word should be undermined because BTS have always proudly been Korean and always shown it in their music, in their visual representation. Mm-hmm. Like I think about Idol all the time. I think about all the performances in that era that highlighted Korean culture to such a high degree. Even where we were dissecting the music video of Idol and like every single little thing was harkening back to Korean culture.
Korean
it felt
culture,
like,
yeah.
I mean, they've always been so proud of who they are.
Their Korean lyrics.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, performing in Korean instead of in English or something like that. I think that they are proud to do this.
For me, it's the lengths that they've gone to for their country.
Right.
I feel like they've really done their country proud up to this point.
And that's a lot of the discourse that's out there about it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what a lot of people, like, not just you, but, like, people in the Korean government have said prior to this decision.
I mean, that's why they were considering, you know, this exemption, you know, because there are a lot of people in Korea who have thought about what BTS have done for the country. And so we're going to get into some of that. We're going to talk about some Korean political figures and just kind of the discourse that's gone on there in this decision of, you know, BTS, whether they could be exempt or not from military service.
Right.
Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lotte Hurst, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
We got some of this information from a great PBS.org article titled Korean Pop Group Members Will Perform Mandatory Military Service in South Korea. So this is a quote from that article saying, since South Korea's draft interrupts young males in their professional careers or studies, the dodging of military duties or creation of exemptions is a highly sensitive issue. Opinion surveys in recent weeks showed that the public was split over whether the BTS members should serve in the military. So when I was looking more into it, it was a really close, like almost 50-50 split of like, should they, shouldn't they, should they have to, or shouldn't they have to? Mm-hmm. And also just in looking into this, I found stats about the young people's perspective of military service. Like a lot of people between like 18 and 29 have a very negative idea of having to conscript into the military, whereas a lot of people who are older, especially people who have already done their service, think that everybody should have to do it. Mm-hmm. So with the younger audience, with it not being a popular thing of people wanting to do that, I think that also played a factor in the Korean government's like not wanting to give BTS an exemption because they could be so popular with the youth and right. They don't want to deter the youth or make the youth think even more negatively about the mandatory service that they're definitely going to have to do and definitely not going to be excluded from.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Yeah. But what I think is so valuable about this poll, though, is it does show that there is this there's a divide worldwide, you know, right. But here in Korea, I mean, there in Korea specifically, there's a divide of whether or not, hey, I feel like they do need to serve, or right. There's a lot of people who are saying, no, I don't think they need to. They've really done a lot for South Korea. So,
right. Just as many people saying, I don't think that they need to.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of going off of that, Defense Minister Lee Jong-soop said in August that if BTS members join the military, they would likely be allowed to continue practicing and to join with a group of tours for tours overseas. So this was mentioned back in August. This was one of those like very many articles that were coming around, I would say late spring, early summer, mm-hmm. where a lot of this conversation was going on. What I found interesting about this is that like, yes, they're still saying like, hey, they're going to need to be enlist and be a part of the military, but we could still potentially allow them to go as a group and tour overseas, right. Which I don't know how I feel about this, right. Because to me, this makes it seem like they're having to do twice the work. You know, right. I think I would rather just have them serve in the military and not have to be a K-pop idol on top
of
it.
At the same time.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
That just means that they're double booked.
Right.
So it looks like it provides some kind of freedom. I know, no offense to this defense minister, right. But you know,
like it's a little bit of a compromise on yeah. the face value.
Yeah.
But it would be twice the amount of work.
It just seems like it'd be twice the amount of work. Yeah. Yeah.
But I like the idea that freedom provides a little bit. Like mm-hmm. that's definitely a change from what there has been.
Right.
But know. Still, it would be a lot of work.
Yeah. And yeah. it would mean that BTS could still be musicians and still, you know, do what they're passionate about.
Right.
But yeah, so that's a good point. There is some kind of compromise going on there.
Right.
Not sure if this is actually going to stay true or carry over once they actually
right,
do
it. Right, because
enlist.
It was just something that was
it
said.
Was just talked about.
Right, just
yeah.
talked about.
Yeah. So according to the Hanhap news agency, Park Young-jun, the mayor of the city of Busan, asked the presidential office to allow the 7 members of BTS the alternative to military service that's occasionally granted to the country's high-profile athletes and classical artists. So Mayor Park proposed that the global K-pop stars instead serve as public relations ambassadors in Busan's bid to host the 2030 World Expo, expecting a, quote, aggressive promotional drive from BTS would give the city a leg up.
Wow.
Again, so it's like, you know, when they talked about the 2030 World Expo, I was thinking, wow, this is another situation where they're really using BTS to their advantage. The country is using BTS to their advantage to hold this massive event, the 2030 World Expo. And the fact that, you know, the mayor of Busan is saying, hey, we could have them work as, you know, public relations ambassadors to help bring this event to our country and to bring attention to Busan and to South Korea. And that could be a way of serving. And then to see that they did do this, they did do this for their country and the city of Busan. And, you know, of course, they're, you know,
still enlisting.
Oh,
it just raises so many question marks for me as to what is going on behind the scenes here.
I have no idea.
Because this seems like a very like lucrative and positive thing in the from the perspective of like government. Like, wow, this is going to bring so much money, tourism, like revenue and recognition to this area and to the country as a whole. And they could not like, if they're not enlisting and this plan is continuing where they're basically like Busan ambassadors to the world, then that's like a, like, you know, like an ad partnership for who knows how long, you know, for years as they're preparing for this 2030 expo. And it's BTS who are announcing that they're enlisting. Like, it makes me think that they're like, we'll do this concert, like, great, like in good faith, you know, like we're, we have two members from Busan. We'd love to do a concert and bring recognition in this way, but maybe they don't want to be these mouthpieces, these ambassadors trying, you know, until they secure, you know, and to be used in this way. Like, I think what they've done for South Korea, like serving as ambassadors to the UN or going to the White House, what incredible opportunities and amazing things that they've done. But like Jimin said after their White House visit and his Weverse post, like, he's not meant for this. Like, this is, he doesn't, he feels out of his depth. You know, why, who is he to be going to the White House and speaking with these global leaders, like, just because of his like popularity.
It feels like out of your scope. Like, for me as a medical professional, I'm like, man, that if I were to try to give advice to someone on like a medical condition that like really wasn't related to anything I had background in, I'd be like, this is out of my scope of practice. Like, it, you know, so I feel like for him, he felt that way. Like, this is so immense speaking on these topics at the White House when really I'm a K-pop idol, you know, I'm a dancer and
they're
a singer.
There to inform the White House on how to approach Asian hate in America. I mean, that's such a, like a nuanced topic that, you know, do they have all of the, you know, knowledge and background to be able to speak on that? Just, you know,
but he was still very grateful.
Of course, and, of course.
You know, proud to have been able to do that. But you, like you were saying, the list is endless of what they've done. You know, the diplomatic passports. They've also done just like straight commercials for tourism in Korea. Just the major companies that come out of Korea, they're brand ambassadors for. You know, they've done a lot. You know, and so I'm really happy that they did this concert for the 2030 World Expo, because I just felt like that concert was incredible for ARMY and BTS. And I totally see why BTS were proudly hopped on the opportunity to do it. I do think that the mayor of Busan was saying, hey, see, like, this is really, they're helping our country here, you know, and maybe was trying to use that as a reason that maybe the military enlistment could be excused. I see where he was going with
it. But still, I mean, like, maybe they're, like, wanting to take a step back from that role, that public role. And maybe so they're choosing the military enlistment instead of having to be that ambassador.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I mean, totally.
Could be anything.
I just don't want them to just be used so much. You know?
And so
that's,
I feel
what
like
I don't want
maybe
him.
That's them choosing like not to be used. Like enlisting instead of being this mouthpiece for Because if they don't enlist on some sort of deal, like we'll be an ambassador for Busan in this way, then they're always tied to that.
And they're trapped in it. Yeah,
they're trapped in that. And then every time South Korea is like, hey, you need to go be the ambassador for Daegu or for Jeju Island, or, you know, like, then they have to do that every time because they never enlisted. They never served.
You're right. Yeah. Like, there's so many more cons.
Right.
To going that route. Yeah. That's a really interesting perspective. Like, I hadn't thought about that maybe they just don't want to be that mouthpiece, right? And they're like, no, I'd rather just do the military service and have it be done. Right. That's kind of where I'm at with it.
Right.
Like, just
get it over with.
Yeah, get it over with.
I feel like they just got to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't blame them.
I really hadn't thought about that at all until I had seen this quote in this way with what we had also talked about. A statement made by the president of Korea Singers Association, Lee Jae-yeon, who shared similar beliefs back in June after BTS announced their hiatus from FESTA. And back then, this statement wasn't wholeheartedly received well from ARMY because they were like, just let BTS rest. Like, don't ask them to come back right now. But I think overall, his message is really sound. Mm-hmm. By the way, this is a public statement that he's making directly to HYBE and BTS and also the Korean government. Like, that's who he titled it to.
Wow.
So he's being direct.
Yeah.
So he says, I'm overcome by my fear and concern that the BTS Hallyu wave of a movement possessing the greatest cultural soft power that the world has ever witnessed will vanish soon. In the years leading up to the birth of this movement, it was believed that finding the next Beatles would be a very difficult achievement. And now we have arrived to the point where it's difficult to hope for the next BTS to emerge anytime soon. Thus, there's a great concern that the heartbeat of Hallyu will cease. He concluded by saying, if BTS goes away, the missionaries of Hallyu and Korean culture, armies, also go away. South Korea's tourism industry will suffer, and it will be difficult to hope for a future for South Korea as a hub of culture in Asia. The special laws allotted to the sports and classical music and arts industries for mandatory service must be extended to popular culture as well. The need for attention and action regarding this existing issue is pressing. The government and National Assembly of South Korea must pay mind to this matter so that the Hallyu boom can continue to spread and BTS can continue to promote actively as a group. Please pursue a revision of existing military service laws. So this is just someone very prominent in the Korean music industry who is, you know, really trying to prevent this service from happening because they know the soft power. They understand the impact that BTS has globally and at home in Korea. Mm-hmm. This is really similar to what the mayor of Busan was talking about, is just like BTS's impact and their ability to bring attention. And you had even sent me a tweet earlier with a Korean army asking iARMYs to not buy Korean products or not go to Korea and tour Korea while BTS is enlisted, just to not give them any more money or revenue and really show the impact that they have and what not having them is going to do.
Yeah. What I do love about this quote, though, is that, you know, he mentions soft power and the significance of soft power. Also, the fact that he, since he's the president of the Korea Singers Association, knowing that he brings up that exemption for the classical arts and the arts industry, and that, you know, he sees the importance of how that should also carry over into pop culture. Mm-hmm. But I feel that that's where a lot of divide potentially could be going on, and seeing like it's not like an Olympian or classical musician who they say brings prestige to the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe because it's pop culture and it's K-idols that it's not seen on the same level, like, you know, for a lot of the people who are in power right now, or for, you know, who is the defense ministry or whoever. You know?
A lot of the people who are in power, I would say, like, a lot of people who have already served, who, like we talked about, have that feeling of, I did it, everybody else should do it. Like, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
just thinking about the idea of soft power, that was pretty new to us too. And I think that BTS for sure is changing the way that things have been done.
Mm-hmm.
And at least it's raising questions, you know, and that maybe, you know, there should be some changes made.
Right. Where these people in the very public eye prominently are talking about we need to make changes to this law to allow it for popular culture as well. Like, that's pretty significant.
Yeah. I don't think that BTS army are going anywhere though. I also don't think the Korean wave is just going to come to a complete stop.
Right. For him to say, like, he underestimates us him to say if BTS goes away, army also go away. No. Like, I don't think so.
Nah.
No way.
The loyalty runs deep. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Although the current exemption to service applies only to elite athletes and classical musicians, South Korea's culture, sports, and tourism minister, Hwang Hee, said back in May that the provision should be expanded. So, just so you know, he is the cultural, sports, and tourism minister. And he ended up saying, it's time to create a system for incorporating popular culture art figures as an art personnel. The system has been operated meaningfully to give those who have enhanced the national status based on their excellent skills more chances to contribute to the country. And there is no reason the popular art culture field should be excluded from this.
I feel like BTS definitely fall into this category.
Right, yeah.
Like, they have done this.
The way that he's putting it in this light of like, hey, we've offered this exemption to elite athletes and classical musicians because of how they enhance the country with these specific excellent skills, which BTS definitely has and has very much contributed to the country. That's why there's been lots of questions of whether or not BTS would serve because of everything that, you know, the immense success that they've brought. I just think it's great that he's putting it in this light to say, hey, this really should be reaching into popular culture, like the art, the popular art culture that goes on.
Right.
And in response to this, there was the defense ministry. Mm-hmm. What they ended up saying was exempting pop culture artists from military service, even though they have made a contribution to the country's reputation, is not in line with the government's stance to uphold justice and fairness. So, yeah.
Yeah.
When we talk about military service, there's just, it's ingrained in the culture in Korea. And one of those things is that every male serves, you know, that like no one really gets exempt, where this is the justice, the fairness that every male has to do it.
Yeah.
And so,
and honestly, the people who are exempt are ostracized.
Yeah.
You know, and really not treated well at all. You know, that's always a mark on them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's.
Yeah, like it reflects poorly on you because, you know, this is like in Korean culture, it's seen as serving your country. Mm-hmm. And like this is just the utmost service you can do for one another, that collectivism.
Right. I mean, it really is like that great equalizer for them. Like no matter who you are or what you have in life or what you don't have, like everybody does this and you all have that, at least all the men have all that shared experience. They all go through what service is.
Yeah. And I really understand that and I see that and I definitely see why BTS would be like, you know what, the exemption isn't even really worth that. You know, like you were saying, they've had a lot of firsts, they've made a lot of waves, they've changed a lot of how things have been working in Korea just with their impact. This might be just too much.
Right.
You know, they really, I don't want that weighing on them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure they don't want that weighing on them. But I do like that there is, people are rethinking some of the ways that military service is working. Like how, like Hwang Hee, what he's saying here of like, hey, we have created exemptions for these very specifically skilled artists and athletes. And BTS really, you know, is no exemption to that. You know, they've done a lot of this too for our country in the very same way.
It's not just that they make music, but it's the impact that their music has had around the world that gives them this, that helps them fall into this category on top of their diplomatic work with the UN and with the White House and you know, all of their other, you know, kind of adventures in that regard too. It's just hard. It's really hard to, you know, but at least the conversation is happening.
Right.
And, you know, all that matters is that, you know, maybe there will be progress in that way. But this quote from Huang He was back in May, which was right before the new president, or right around when the new president took office. And this new president is a, you know, very, very conservative. You know, he was elected by a bunch of guys who voted for him because he ran on a platform that the women in the workforce stole their jobs.
Yep.
So really not great. And so, I mean, we could not expect this presidency to make this change. Mm-hmm. Like, this is an incredibly progressive change to the military system.
Incredibly progressive.
Right. The conscription system. That's, I mean, like, mandatory service has been, like, going since 1957 in Korea. And, like, this, I don't think this presidency is going to allow that to change. And I feel like it all boils down to that. Like, regardless of BTS trying to make extensions and not serve, or if they ultimately wanted to serve, or what really went behind closed doors for them, we know that the government, they were not going to let it happen right now.
Yeah.
I think, like, you were talking about earlier that President Moon, the prior president, really seemed to set this up like this could happen and would happen,
he
and
set
that
the
he
stage
wanted
for
it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think them winning the Cultural Merit Award, them getting diplomatic passports, speaking at the United Nations twice, speaking at the White House.
Right.
I mean, they were involved in a lot of political light too. And so I just felt that he really was setting the stage for them to have, like, particular criteria that could get them exempt.
Right.
Because they had done so much for their country, and he was so grateful for everything they had done. You could see that with President Moon, that he just felt like the Cultural Merit Award is not handed out to rarely anyone.
No.
So it was such an honor for BTS to have received that. I felt that that's maybe what President Moon was doing. Like, he kind of wanted to offer those little stepping stones that could maybe lead them to, like, specific criteria to allow that exemption. And so I felt like that was in the talks for a lot of the government when they were considering maybe BTS could be exempt.
Mm-hmm.
But like you were saying, it's so ingrained. I just hope that BTS are doing what they want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Based on what we saw in Busan at the concert, it seems like they're all happy and
amazing.
Well.
Amazing. And I'm really glad that, you know, maybe they knew back around Festa time that they would have to enlist, and they just, like Jimin
couldn't
said at the Festa dinner, we can't say it all, you know, there's so many things that we can't tell you. And so if that's the case, I love that they have taken this time, and that, like, they got to go experience and do things that they wanted to do, and, like, have, like, this time, almost like time off, like Namjoon traveling to Switzerland and all those different museums that he got to go to, and Taeyeon going to Paris Fashion Week, and is that what he did?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I mean, they got to really, J-Hope doing Jack in the Box and
Hobiepalooza.
I mean. Amazing. And they got to experience these different things. And it was like, okay, like, I love that they were able to have that time. It wasn't like, let's have another comeback or do something else real quick as a group. Like, if they wanted to relax and have some time off before joining the military, they're getting it, which I think is really great.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I'm proud of them. Always will be.
Yeah.
They know what's best for themselves. Mm-hmm. And this is, I mean, this really seemed like something that it was unavoidable.
Right.
You know, like, this day, it's finally come.
Right.
It's finally come.
It's
so
finally.
Just know that if you're upset, it's okay to be upset. If you're a little, like, what the heck, maybe a little mad, it's okay too.
Yeah. But we hope that this conversation helped you understand the different perspectives and nuances that went into all of this happening, because it was really a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah. A lot of moving parts here.
We've tiptoed around this conversation for a long time, but now that we have an answer, like, at least we have an answer,
right?
And we can kind of talk about why it's been such, it's not a topic that's taken lightly.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Before all of this enlistment news even happened was the concert that they had, the World Expo 2030 Busan Korea concert, yet to come in Busan. Incredible, iconic.
Yes, the concert, iconic. It happened at like 3-4 in the morning our time.
4 in the morning our time.
You know, wouldn't be a BTS concert if it wasn't us waking up at ungodly hours to watch them. But so worth it. So the concert was held in support of Busan's bid to host the 2030 World Expo. Busan is one of the four cities in the running to host the event. So it's a world's fair that's proposed to be taking place in 2030. It sounds like the Bureau International des Expositions will vote on the winning country this coming year, you know, I'm pretty sure. So Busan is in the running for that. And this is one of the activities or festivals they had in hopes that they would bring some attention to their city.
Yeah.
And win the bid. So this ended up being a whole like festival show. It wasn't just the concert. So at 5 p.m. Korean Standard Time, they had the Lottie World Parade. At 6 p.m., they had the concert, which was held at the Busan Aside Main Stadium in Busan, South Korea. And then at 9 p.m., they had a drone show, and it was a display that happened at Gwangalli Beach, and they played BTS songs while, like, displaying bursts of, like, BTS with their names underneath them.
Yeah, so amazing.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. It was, like, hundreds of drones. Yeah. We tried
we think it was 400.
400? You think it was 400 drones?
Yeah, because there was, when they all came together at the end, right, they got in rows of five, and we were like, how many drones do you think it's in each row? And you said like 20. That seems about right.
And then there was four of those.
Gotta be like 400. Yeah.
Probably between 400 and 500 drones, but we're like, how many drones do you think are there? And like, when they were lining up to land, we're like, okay, hold, there's these bunches.
Right.
There's about 20 in a bunch. There's five rows across. Like, that like happened at like what, 6 a.m?
Probably.
Anyways, and then at 10 o'clock they had like an after party. So much fun getting to see that they had this whole festival style show that had multiple events. The drone show was pretty neat, honestly.
So this concert was streamed on Weverse and Naver Now. ARMYs also watched on other streaming platforms such as Twitch or wherever they could find a functioning stream. There was a lot of streaming issues with streams being laggy, buffering, or going down completely throughout the entire show. Let's talk about the set, because the set was pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, it was.
It was one massive stage that stretched the entire side of the stadium, like the long end of the stadium, with the entire crowd facing them from the other side, from the floor and, you know, the other side of the stadium. Mm-hmm. Super huge. And the entire stage looked like the Proof album cover with the BTS logo and ARMY doors moving outward on both sides. And they were all screens. So throughout the entire audience, you could see each BTS member projected up at the screen at, you know, any given time. Incredible experience for that. So we just love to see all the live footage throughout the concert. Like, if you saw one member in front of you, then you saw the rest of them on the screen behind it. It was pretty great.
It was a really neat set. Like, those screens were massive. Like, seriously, no budget. They just went all out for it.
Right.
I particularly remember seeing, like, the Jack-in-the-Box colors when J-Hope was rapping. And just so neat. Like, you really got to see each and every member. You got to really feel, like, the ambiance changed with each and every song because of these screens, and they could just do whatever with it because they were a digital screen. So
so massive.
Yeah, really, really neat. Yeah.
Yeah. And then sitting on the stage, they had like yet to come props. So we saw like the Spring Day train and the carousel and some other props that we see in the yet to come music video there. And even like at the very end of the concert, we see like the Spring Day train that they're on. And then, you know, like we see like the bus in the background. There's, you know, just some other things.
Yeah,
hanging
the carousel
out
for sure. Yeah. That really stood out. Yeah. So let's talk about the visuals of all of the members.
Oh,
like, what
God.
Really stood out about so each hot. And every one of them during this concert. Like, when they first came out, truthfully, my eye was, like, pulled right to Jimin. His luscious, like, light brown hair. Mm. Like, first off, all of the members have, like, longer hair right now, including Jimin. Jimin, it's just this such light, fluffy brown hair. And
gorgeous.
I'm like, wow, he looks so gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
luscious.
Sexy.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, at one point he was wearing that super loose, like, black V-neck that he kept lifting up.
No. Super loose.
No,
lots
no, no.
of chest, lots of stomach, abs, just yeah. lots of never mind slip tattoo
God.
Slips there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kill me.
Let's talk about J-Hope in these highlights.
Fuck.
With a mullet.
No.
I truthfully feel like Hobie Palooza changed J-Hope. Like Jack in the Box, like we've got yeah. just like a whole new Jungho Sock.
He's a different
now.
Man.
He's unstoppable. Mm. He is a different man.
Yeah, his
He's
energy
changed.
Was in fucking insane.
The highlights. Gosh, those highlights are just so sexy on him. Mm. Oh, man. He looked fantastic.
Yeah, he did.
High energy. Just like... a star, a yeah. complete star.
Yeah.
We've said that before, but like it's now more than ever.
He also had such a sexy glare on like the yeah. whole time. Mm. Damn.
No, never. Yeah. Jungkook has like really long hair too, and it's nice and curly. Like
yes.
it's super curly. We're like, does he have a perm or is it naturally curly like
right.
that? Like we really don't know,
right.
but really long, lots of curls, lots of curls. Mm-hmm. He looks so hot, so handsome, lip piercing. Oh,
damn.
Just
ugh.
Amazing. So hot, so
Square
sexy.
Jaw.
But also, like, for some reason, for me, the entire concert, all I could think about is just how he is such a sweetie pie.
100%.
Like, he seems like a complete sweetie pie throughout the entire concert.
He was like his most maknae that he's been in years in
yeah.
this concert. I feel like there was some
totally.
Points where I was like, he is straight up adorable right now.
Uh-huh.
Like, how is this sexy man with these big muscles and this square ass jaw and lip piercing and eyebrow piercing, like looking purely cute right now?
Yeah.
Sweet baby.
And then Taeyong, oh God, like who put him in leather, like full leather, like motor jacket, leather pants. I mean, mm-hmm. I know we're talking about visuals, but like his facial expressions, the energy that he was exuding on stage
yeah.
was just overwhelmingly seductive and just like, over the top.
Living his best life. Yeah.
Again, it was just like, we've always had this like sexy, very charismatic Taeyong,
mm.
but like for this concert, it just seemed like they all were giving everything they had.
Yeah.
It was like they turned it up 20 notches.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, especially they announced enlistment right after this concert. They knew that this was their last like thing they're doing as a group before enlistment. What a way.
Yeah.
Like go
they
with
really
a bang.
They really gave it their all.
Yeah, for real.
You're so right.
Oh, fucking Kim Namjoon. I just have to say, this jet black hair parted mm-hmm. down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I was dying the entire time. Just anytime he's on stage, just looking down the bridge of his nose at us. No, I just could not handle.
God, he's so massive.
So massive.
He's
so huge.
Big.
Like, I've seen him live 3 times and I can't believe how fucking massive he is.
Like,
the
when
fuck?
He runs across the stage, I just, like, his whole body is just...
Yeah.
Not jiggling, but you know, just like
there's mass.
There's lots of mass.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the best way to say it. Mass.
Uh-huh. That's a whole man. Like,
yeah.
you know. God, and Yoongi, his hair is super fucking long right now.
Yeah.
Also black. I fucking love the tucked behind the ear.
Ooh, like,
amazing.
I thought that was Taeyong's move, but Yoongi,
right?
Yoongi learned from him, I guess.
I know. But then at the same time, I was like, this is fucking August D right here.
Yeah.
Like when he was spitting with that hair tucked behind his ear, I'm like, this is so hot.
Yeah.
But also we heard that in soundcheck, he had his hair up in a bun.
Yeah.
Mm. Amazing.
Yeah.
Which apparently he also kind of has it up. We've seen like clips from the dance practice video on Taeyong's Instagram story. You can also tell he has it pulled back in that. So can't wait for the official vid.
I hope it drops.
Yeah. Soon.
I hope Kim Taeyong isn't just messing with us. He would.
Literally. Okay. And also fucking Kim Seokjin. This entire concert, like not only visual king, but vocal king at
vocal
the same
king.
Time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But he looked absolutely stunning.
Full forehead.
Ooh, he had it out. He just looked so handsome.
One of the best foreheads, truthfully.
I mean,
yeah.
a top tier forehead.
Yeah.
He was absolutely wrecking. He was catching both of our eyes from like the beginning of mic drop, the very first
from
song.
From the very back.
We're like Jin.
Back row, we're like, Jin, what, like finding his window
chill out.
At any moment.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember just being like, Jin, wrecking from the back. Like,
really,
we're both
though.
Like, really, we could just...
And we both had the same thought, same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was destroying. Yeah. So let's talk about this set list a little bit. So we really, I don't think we walked into the concert with any expectations of the set list.
No.
Like not really knowing what they were going to have. I think we definitely weren't expecting to see any songs we hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that. We really weren't on Twitter or anything, so we hadn't seen, some people had figured out kind of what the set list was going to be, but we didn't know what to expect. We were both thinking maybe like BTS best hits type scenario, right? Again, like kind of like what Permission to Dance, right? Was.
Maybe some solos.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we were pretty dang surprised at what ended up getting played. So, it was kind of like a three-part series. In the first part, they did Mic Drop, Run BTS, Into Run. Then they had an opening Mint. Then they did Save Me, 0 o'clock, and then Butterfly. Then the rap line came in after that with Ugg, and then Cypher Part 3.
Yeah, so let's just talk about Part 1 a little bit here.
Yeah.
So Mic Drop was like a rock version remix, which they did this with a few songs throughout the concert, which they gave us like little their, you know, their live concert version, which sparked some army on Twitter saying, why doesn't BTS or HYBE release a concert version of an album?
Please.
I would buy that in an instant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Dionysus Trap remix.
For real. Yeah. Put it on an album. Yeah. Anyway, so that was really cool for them to give us that remix to start off with. And then Namjoon, in that song, he said, live your life, suckers. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, instead of just live your life. So that had a lasting impact for sure.
It did. And then after this, they ended up going into Run BTS. So Kayla, at your house, I can't lie, it was what, 4 a.m?
It was probably 4:15.
I don't know how I even drove to your house, honestly. Like, it was 3:30 a.m. when I drove over. Got there at 4. I'm like, okay, yeah, I know I'm here, I'm present. But I wasn't standing. I was sitting, you know, just on the couch, and right. I'm like, all right, yeah, Mic Drop, get it. Oh yeah, like they all look hot. And then Run BTS came on. I was like, I just fully sat up. I'm like, all right, hold up. Are we getting a Run BTS? Like, you have my attention now. Like, it's not like you didn't have my attention, but like, I am fully present.
Right.
Woo-wee. We got to talk about just like all of the choreography,
right?
Just the stage presence from all of them. What I really remember watching it first time through was just like, Maknae's are present and they are giving it their all. Like, I felt like Taeyong, Jungkook, and Jimin, just like, the energy level was just insane.
Yeah.
They always come performing their best, but right. It just seemed like they were putting so much enthusiasm, absolutely everything they had into this performance. Mm. And for me, it felt like they've been dying to perform this
right.
song.
Yes.
Or like they were thinking about how badly ARMY's been waiting for it. Like, I've been waiting since June. Like, I was a little butthurt about like, dang, Proof promos, but no Run BTS.
Right.
Like, you know, I was a little sad.
Right. Maybe like they saved it for this moment. They knew this moment was coming
and they
just wanted to like go out with a bang for real. Like, mm-hmm. To perform a never have been performed song at this concert. Yeah. Incredible. Iconic.
Iconic. It's iconic.
Fucking iconic.
Hands
I mean,
down.
The one and only performance of Run BTS here. I totally agree with you. The Maknae's put every single ounce of energy that they had into this performance. They mm-hmm. were going so hard, especially fucking Taeyong. He was eating it up from every single lyric to every facial expression, every dance move. Fucking killing it.
I mean, I feel like I'm always thirsting over Taeyong,
yeah.
But like, I've just felt like a straight hoe watching him because I was like, wow, oh. I am just so into you. Like, damn it.
I mean, me with Jimin, this is where Jimin had like that deep V-neck loose shirt on and so much chest, so much abs.
So just, much bare skin.
Oh, God.
That shirt was just all over.
Yeah, dying. Absolutely dying. Also, so like when we get to the bridge was one of our favorite features of this song. You know, just listening to it from Proof and hearing J-Hope do it live. And I love that they added the auto-tune on his mic here live. Mm-hmm. I think that is such an integral part of his style for this song. And he even brought some of that auto-tune style into Jack in the Box. I just think that's his vibe. So
yeah.
I love that. I love that he got that live. And his fucking bridge is so incredible because he comes, like, I just want to talk about the choreography that happens there. All of BTS kind of move around, you know, like in the background, you don't really know where they're at. You kind of see Taeyong doing a little choreo behind J-Hope as his verse is going. And then when he starts to list off the members and thank them, they just kind of saunter out from behind mm-hmm. them and kind of like acknowledge the crowd. Like Namjoon puts his hand up, Jimin does like a dance move. Oh my fucking God. I could watch that over and over and over and over again. Iconic. Yep. Mm-hmm. Iconic. Most iconic moment of the concert. Yeah,
I absolutely, I mean, for the choreo to build that in, you know, with the lyrics of just J-Hope calling out each and every member and them coming out and stepping out in their own individual way, it's just unforgettable. Right. I mean, we were like, whoa, we were freaking out when it happened. I mean, not only are we just like fangirling over this, God, this undeniably, like this god of J-Hope who is like presented in front of us. He looks so incredible.
Right.
But for him to be doing this amazing bridge and then for them to all come out in that way was, I mean, there was no other way they could do it. It was amazing. Great. Yeah.
It was a perfect performance. Like any, like the choreography of the main chorus too, incredible. And so just every single element of this performance of Run BTS was perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The choreography. I really hope that we get a dance practice because I've been seeing that people are like, oh yeah, we should have like a TikTok dance challenge, but can anyone even learn this choreo?
Oh my gosh.
Like the choreo is intricate. It is fast. It is quick. Uh-huh. It is powerful. The motions where they look like they're kind of driving a car, but I mean, just like the footwork is quick. The hands are quick. It's so involved. It's so involved. And they absolutely killed it.
Yeah. They did.
They put everything they had into it. Yeah. It showed. It really showed.
Yeah.
Powerful performance. Unforgettable performance.
Unforgettable. Replaying in our minds constantly.
Yeah.
But actually after this performance, the streams crash.
Yep.
Like fucking, I mean,
that is not a coincidence.
No, I mean, because it was so unexpected that I think anyone who was just kind of like looking for clips on Twitter, or like not really watching
it.
They just flooded to like, oh my God, what's happening? And everything crashed. Naver Now and Weverse crashed. And the only place that we could watch it, what did we watch it on again?
JTBC.
Yeah, JTBC was what we watched.
Yeah, which I think is
on.
Where a lot of ARMYs watched
right.
it. Yeah, absolutely no coincidence that after Run BTS, it crashed. Like, I had turned to you like, of course, like everyone's joining the stream now because they just saw that Run BTS just got performed.
Right.
They don't want to miss it. So
no, it was horrible though. We were like, no, we're missing so much of the concert. Yeah. Like, don't know what's going on.
Yeah, we saw a little bit of Save Me, right? Yeah, we saw like a little bit of Save Me, but we missed a lot of the Vocal Line songs.
Right.
We did get to see Run, a little bit of Run, but once those Vocal Line songs came on, we missed them. So we didn't get to see 0 o'clock or Butterfly.
Or UGG.
Which I'm so upset about because J-Hope posted like a little bit of his clip on his Instagram where he's coming out onto stage for UGG. And I'm like, damn, he looks so hot. Right. He's so powerful. And we missed it. But hopefully they'll post it somewhere.
Everybody has said like Big Hit needs to post the stream.
Yeah.
Because of all of the issues that everybody had, that how much we missed, they need to post it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Add that to the additional content you release while BTS
please.
Are serving.
Please.
Yes.
Yeah.
Feed us.
We'll ask nicely. Feed us is what
Feed
you just
us.
Said.
Yeah.
Yeah, really though. But we came back at Cypher Part 3. So we got not quite the whole thing, but we got like, I would say the last 2/3 of it maybe.
Uh-huh.
And during the concert, Namjoon said that this would be the very last time that they performed this song. Mm-hmm. And so he had kind of freaked some ARMY out prior to the concert by posting on Weverse and saying that like, you know, this would be the last time that they perform and everybody's like, oh no, they're going to break up or whatever.
Yeah.
But really he just meant like some of these songs they're never going to perform again, which once we got like this whole set list and we see like Cypher Part 3, like we understand, okay, maybe they'll never perform this again.
Yeah, they may not. Or Run. I was really shocked by Run.
Right.
I was like, I mean, Run BTS into Run is pretty fantastic, but I mean, when was the last time we got a Run performance?
Right. But Cypher Part 3 was the performance where we first saw the background change changed to Jack in the Box colors during J-Hope's verse. So, and that kind of like happened quite a few times throughout his verses, which I love to see that integration of like solo work into like BTS as a whole.
Yeah. We'll probably see that a lot down the road.
Yeah. Also, J-Hope in his verse of Cypher Part 3 changed his lyrics. So he changed it to his lyrics from More. So he said, I'm thirsty. I need to go surfing on the beat. I'm a fish that met water. So again, like more integration of his solo work here into the BTS as a whole.
Yeah. So love that. Neat that he changed his lyrics in his verse. Yeah. Love that. Mm-hmm.
So just so we make sure to mention it, I'll talk about part two of the set list, which is, I feel like for us, the main part of the concert that we really latched onto was part one, just because of Run BTS. I mean, that was like, to us, that was, this is what we haven't seen. This is the new, this is the important.
Yeah. But also older songs that we haven't seen in a long time too.
Right.
Like Run, Cypher Part 3. Yeah. And Butterfly. I mean, we missed it, but
I know. I would have loved to see Butterfly.
Yeah.
So part two started with some of their English songs. We got Dynamite, and then sandwiched in between Dynamite and Butter was Boy With Love right there. So we got Dynamite, Butter, Boy With Love, and then their second Mint, and then we got some more classics. Like, I would say these are really iconic songs for BTS. Mm-hmm. They performed Ma City, which I love because Jimin and Jungkook are both from Busan, so I thought, like, I remember talking to you during the concert, like, this is so special that they're performing this here, and they had talked about that had been like over 3 years since they had performed in Busan all. So just being back and being able to perform that song, like how special for them.
Jimin looked so proud too. Yeah. He was like, my city. Like, he's like absolutely into singing My City in his city.
Yeah. Loved it. After that, we got Dope, Fire, and Idol, which I mean, just iconic trio right there. Yeah. It was great performances. Mm-hmm. They also did not like the entire choreography for those songs, but they did some of the choreo. Like there were times where they would come together on stage and do the choreo, like for the chorus. And then a lot of the times they were just spreading out on stage, like vibing with each other, interacting with the crowd, like really spreading out and, you know, enjoying themselves too. And then we got the third Mint, and then we got Epilogue, Young Forever, and For Youth. So this was kind of like their, like the end of the concert, the before the encore, their outro. So really beautiful for Youth, where they were standing there with their microphones, just like a really beautiful moment of them just all lined up together.
I just couldn't help but to get emotional listening to Young Forever. Just thinking, like seeing all of them now with like their longer hair, they're looking very mature. They're into this second chapter. At the time we didn't know, but now we're having, they're gonna go into military enlistment here. So for them to be singing Forever, We Are Young, you know, it just makes me emotional thinking about like the youth that we've gotten to experience and see BTS go through and now grow out of. And they're, you know, continuing to say like Forever Young. But to see them as these like very mature adults, male adults here, I couldn't help but to be like, you know, like, is it going to be forever? You know?
Oh, man.
That's what I was thinking during the concert. I was like, damn it. Here I am crying yet again at a BTS concert.
Right. It's what they always do to us.
Yeah.
I mean, getting that like right before For Youth too, like those two songs back to back were particularly meaningful and beautiful.
I love the pairing of that. Yeah. And the pairing of Run BTS and Run. I felt like those... I love those little details.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And I just love that their discography has such continuity.
Yes.
Like it's just always been BTS. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So after, you know, that's kind of like their outro songs, but then they do leave the stage. They have a you know, outfit change, and they change into like, I would say like lavender colored, like sweatshirts, and some of them have pins all over, and it's kind of like their 2030 yet to come, you know, like outfit for proof.
It's their more casual ending concert outfits.
Like their encore outfits that they usually switch into.
That's it. So they ended up doing Spring Day. Then they had their closing Mint, and then they did Yet to Come to finish.
Yet to Come. Which strikes even more just with that enlistment announcement and Yet to Come being referenced at the end of that announcement as well.
And saying that it's a promise to ARMY. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Spring Day was particularly emotional because we saw that Yoongi got a little emotional during Spring Day, like right at the beginning. And you can kind of see him like hold his head, like he's thinking too, like, no, don't cry.
Right.
Like, you know, how many times have I heard the song? How many times have I sang the song?
Right.
But it's just hard not to feel that like BTS ARMY connection, that love whenever we see them perform live in concert.
Right.
You know, it's just so, so strong in those moments. But we are going to talk a little bit about their closing mints because they had a lot to say here.
Yeah. They're also linked here in the doc if you want to read them.
Yeah.
So Jungkook said, Namjoon said that today is his first time to come without thoughts, but I always come without thoughts. Sorry. Today we met ARMY with songs we haven't sung in a while and with songs a lot of you liked. I think we did our best, but how was it for you? If you like it, then we like it too. Today, it's our 9th year, right? Almost 10 years for us. Today, while being on stage, I, who's not a deep thinker, did some deep thinking. Just that thinking about the course of things from 10 years ago when I was a trainee till now. I've never done this on stage, but I would like to thank the members. As I was on stage, I find this moment being in my hometown with many armies fascinating, and there was a moment where it didn't feel real. So I thought a lot of armies and of the members. I've been having the career for 10 years, 9, and there were times when I had hardship and when I wanted to quit, but the members were there to hold on to me, and because of that, I think I'm able to stand here. You all, BTS, have worked hard all these while. This doesn't mean the end, but I'm saying let's continue to run moving forward. Just like Jiminy said, I want to spend the next 10 years and 10 more years with you. Thank you, and I'm so happy to perform in my hometown today. Thank you to the armies who came. As the weather has gotten colder, please be careful not to catch a cold. Watch out for cars, people, and take care of yourselves. Make sure to take care of your meals. I'll end it here, and I've been so happy today. I love you, ARMY. I love you, BTS. I love you.
So sweet that he really shouts out to all of his members,
right.
You know, really showing that gratitude. Also that he's like, I'm not a deep thinker, but I thought deeply today.
Right. I mean, just of course he's reflecting on the past 10 years here, especially before, you know, knowing that this military enlistment announcement is happening right after this. Wow, I've come so far. I've done so much within these past 10 years that I've had, and that he's also just like we are looking forward to the next 10 years and the 10 after that and the 2 or 3 more anthology albums that we're going to have.
Exactly.
From BTS.
Many more.
Yeah.
So J-Hope said, I really miss this moment when I performed alone at Hopeypalooza. I felt the emptiness of the other 6 members. I feel that I have more energy when I'm with them. I cried after that performance because I really miss them.
No.
Oh, no. If I just feel like this, how much do you guys miss us? I also feel refreshed. We also showed Run BTS with our new choreo for the first time. I want to talk about the future. Don't worry, I'm not going to say anything big. I think it's time for us to trust each other more in the future. Thank you for coming today. I love you. I did not know that he cried after performing by himself at Hopeypalooza because he did such a fantastic job. But wow, he really did feel the emptiness of his 6 members and that they really all feed off of each other, their energy. They're able to absolutely perform their best when they're with each other.
Yeah.
So I think what really stands out about J-Hope's meant, though, is the mentioning of trusting each other more in the future.
Totally.
Because I feel that the other members really latch on to that, and ARMY has really seeked comfort in that.
Yeah, we have to trust the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Yoongi's meant, he said, there were many difficulties during this concert here in Busan. But, however, the past is now gone and those things can only be in the past. I think what's more important and meaningful is that we've made such happy memories today. Recently, while preparing for the set list, although some of you might know this, except My City, all these songs were what we had performed as a group. The memories from June 13th, 2013 to October 15th, 2022 were passing in front of me like the flash of a memory while performing. I feel so relieved. It makes me relieved that I met you guys more than once in Busan, and it makes me relieved that we can hear your loud cheering, really. Some people say BTS has gotten old and other things, and it's been about 6 years since we first got the grand prize, but perhaps we can continue being here for the following 10 years, 20 years, and even 30 more years. So everyone, let's grow old together. However, thank you. I love you. I really love you. So like really just what's standing out to me is again, the longevity, like the plans to be together as BTS for 10, 20, 30 years. I mean, it's true that together they are everything and they have become such a strongly bonded family that without each other on stage, like what J-Hope said, it doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. Like they love to make music together and to perform together, and they love who they are as BTS.
They're gonna be all men performing together.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait to see like 60-year-old Yoongi sitting on a stool on stage.
I will still be fangirling over him.
I will be so dying. Yeah. I'll be 60 also, just right there. Yeah.
So yeah. Taeyang, he said, ARMY, did you miss us? We missed you so much, ARMY. While doing this concert with the members, there was something I was curious about. And Yoongi says, it's not our fault. And then Taeyang says, I suddenly thought about this. I thought, ARMY will be surprised if we see our concert again, or if they see our concert again. Through this concert, although, it's a one-time event. We prepared a lot, and the choreography for Run BTS is really hard.
Aww.
I was really looking forward to seeing whether ARMY would like it. Did you like it?
Must have been there was a lot of cheering. There was so much cheering after that.
I mean, we loved it. We absolutely loved it. It was the highlight of the concert for sure, at least in my eyes. And then he said, oh, I can't talk for a long time. Thank you. And then JK is like, is that how you're going to end it? And Yoongi's like, it's clean. Like, it's good.
Cut him off before he's rambling.
Yeah. Right. And so Taeyang just ends by saying, oh, I purple you.
Oh, sweet Taeyang-y.
Barhae.
Yeah. Okay, so Namjoon says, Aigu, hello. And Jungkook says, director. And Namjoon says, no, I didn't want to go last today, but always last. Or I was always last, but today I wanted to do it naturally. So yes, I'll do it now. Busan, it's been a while since we met. As you saw, I wanted to look good for you guys, so I cut my hair. Damn. Still, we haven't aged yet. If these friends cut back their hair, would you say it's possible for them to be 23 years old? And then Jin said, how old do I look? Namjoon said, 25. Jin said, thanks.
Jin's just looking for the compliments.
Right. Always. He is not afraid to fish for those compliments. No.
And he knows he can get it from Namjoon.
Of course he can. So Namjoon says, anyway, I'm a person who always has a lot to say, but today, for the first time, I didn't think about anything and came. Just today, I want to protect or give protection to you through today's memories. We actually, after the Speak Yourself show in Busan for the last time in 2019, we didn't have the experience of trying to put on a proper show here for 3 years. Thanks for waiting for us, and it's our first time doing a show where the audience stands with no chairs in front, so sorry if the stage is insufficient or missing something. During Idol and Fire, we wanted to go down and run beside you, but we couldn't due to security reasons, so I apologize. Anyways, even if I didn't say much, I trust you'll understand. Oh, and even if things happen in front of us, the seven of us feel the same, and if you please believe in us, no matter what happens in the future, we will continue steadfastly and make music happily. So as Hoseok said, I hope you have faith in us. It would be nice if we could take the memories of today in a fun way. So I just love his sentiment. First of all, I noticed that about the stage. To me, it reminded me of like Psy's performance festival, where it was just like this sea of people just standing and then the seats. Yeah. That was very much the setup that BTS had here. Mm-hmm. And then second of all,
they also
changed venues. Right.
I don't know if you knew that.
Right.
I forgot what the original venue was supposed to be. Mm. So there was a lot of changes that went on. And then there was also like a delay in people getting inside the venue because they were supposed to get in like that, like Jin's truck that we see in like the Run BTS music video. But there was like security issues with that too because of how people were like still flooding in.
Mm. Yeah. So he could definitely be referencing like those, yeah, just, you know, some of those pre-concert hiccups. Issues. Yeah. Yeah. But I love what he says at the end, which to me kind of like hints at this, you know, upcoming announcement of enlistment, of saying, you know, even things that happen in front of us, the seven of us feel the same as you do. And mm-hmm. if you just believe in us, you know, we will continue to make music happily. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like Hosoki said, I hope you have faith in us.
Faith and trust in
yeah.
them.
Yeah, and we can definitely, I feel like all of ARMY can walk away from that concert experience, like loving it and feeling good about having seen that concert yeah. and what they did for us there.
Yeah, and feeling great about just where BTS are right now. They just were so happy on stage. I mean, you really could feel the love
yeah.
with all of them. Yeah, yeah,
for sure.
So Jimin said, "Did you enjoy yourselves? When I think of this ending, I feel quite sad. Though this is not our last concert, as we'll keep going. Everyone, don't be too sad. Also, thank you for the birthday wishes." Oh, yeah, they sing happy birthday to Jimin.
Amazing.
Yes, it was so, so special. So, so special yeah. that they did that.
Yeah.
Everyone, since I'm a year older now, I've had been thinking a lot about this. I really didn't want to age. No, but I want to continue having concerts in this appearance with all of you. Hence, I keep thinking about having to grow older. These days, I have a lot of conversations with you. Especially today, I feel, rather than thinking about aging, I'm not usually curious about this, but now I'm getting curious about whatever I'll look like in 10 years. I'm very much looking forward. I think it'll be happy and not all that scary. So I think we can keep going and make many more memories. Perhaps it's still a little preview of what's to come. We should just keep going, 30s, 40s. And then JK says, "Are you confident?" And Jimin says, "I am, 70-year-old BTS."
Yes!
Yeah. He says, "Anyways, I was happy today, as expected. We feel like ourselves, and it's always meaningful whenever we're with you. I hope we can meet again as soon as possible. Thank you for coming, everyone." Precious.
Jimin, precious. Sweetie. I love that it was his birthday too.
Yeah, he's going to look gorgeous at 70.
Oh, God. Forever, Park Jimin. So
he won't age.
He won't. He no. won't. Then we have Jin, and he said, I thought a lot and felt a lot about the concert today. First, this is the last scheduled concert, and I'm asking myself, when is the next one? We will definitely have more concerts in the future, so don't worry. My throat was not well these past 2 weeks, and I kept living in the ENT office. I kept praying, and even 10 minutes before the concert, I couldn't speak. But when I stepped on stage, I became fine. I have something I want to tell you. After J-Hope's solo debut, my album will be out.
Yes!
Actually, it's not a normal album, but more of a single. I collaborated with someone I admire. I have a lot of content to share with you guys. I hope you enjoy it. I'm very happy today. Thank you. I love you.
Lots of content to share with us. Yeah. We've got a single. We now know it's Coldplay yes. that he was referring to. So exciting. Also, I'm just like really shocked hearing that he was like living at the ENT office and yeah. that his throat wasn't well up until like 10 minutes before the concert, because during Run BTS, his vocals were standing out so much mm-hmm. to me. Like those high notes in Run BTS, not easy to sing. And he was belting it so yeah. clearly and perfectly in pitch and just like, I was awing over the choreography, but I'm like, did you hear Jin? Like, right. did you just hear Jin there?
Like, oh my God, Jin.
Yeah, yeah, his totally. Voice was, I mean, some of the best vocals I've heard from him, which is crazy yeah. that he hasn't been, like, his throat hasn't been
meant
well.
To be that he was meant able to step on stage and do that.
Yeah.
Also, I just love that he says, I have a lot of content to share with you guys.
Yes,
like,
content.
I can't wait for all that comes with this single.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that we definitely have that to look forward to, and we're feeling okay about enlistment.
Yes, we are.
And we had a great, amazing concert from BTS this past weekend. Mm-hmm. So we've really been enjoying our BTS time lately, and we hope that you Iconics enjoyed listening to this conversation about it all. We know it's a little on the long side, but this was a lot of information, y'all. So
it was.
It really was. Yeah. But you know, we will hopefully see some of you guys at the Iconic Hangout next week.
Yes.
And then after that, we'll talk about Jin's solo songs
right.
or whatever he's coming out with. We'll see.
A busy October.
Right. So, of course, you can find links for all of the things in the description. And we definitely first want to thank our VIP iconics, especially Eileen, Michelle, Deja, Meg, Rachel, Robin, Emily, Madison, Holly, and Sophia. We love you guys so, so much. Thank you for all of the support. And yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Borja.
Borja.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.